On this episode of the Green Street Beat, the focus is on the city's comprehensive plan. This document is used as a guide for long-term planning, focusing on land development, public infrastructure improvement needs, and more. Hear how you can get involved in the process and what it all means for Lee Summit. Let's get to it. I'm joined today by Assistant City Manager Mark Dunning, Director of Development Services Ryan Elam, and Assistant Director of Plan Services Josh Johnson. Thank you all for being on the podcast today, and we have a few returning guests even.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Eric.
So today we're talking about the city's comprehensive plan. So we want to start super high level. What does a comprehensive plan consist of, and what's the ultimate purpose of it?
Well, Eric, this is Josh. I'll start with that. A comprehensive plan, sometimes people call it a comp plan, really consists of three elements. The first element is kind of where's the city right now? And then once you know where the city's at right now, our staff and our selected consultant will go out and kind of consult the public about a variety of issues, ask them questions like, hey, what do you think of a lot of the architecture in Lee Summit, and where do you want to see us go? So between where we're at right now and then through a series of questions, we kind of get a feel for where the community wants to go. And then the comprehensive plan, we develop policy language out of those two things that really charts the future of the city. Also, there'll be a series of maps in the comp plan. Those will tell us things like how could the city perhaps grow? Where are there areas that we might want to see redevelop? As you know, there's the property reserve incorporated land. It's basically 4,400 acres of vacant land. That's a conversation that needs to be had throughout the community as well. So really, like I said, the comprehensive plan really looks at where we're at and where we want to go. And, you know, we consult the public and interested stakeholders about all those questions.
I'll add to that that the comprehensive plan also acts as that roadmap or that vision as to what the community is looking for in the future. And what I mean by that is, let's say we've got a big vacant piece of ground there that we haven't had a development come in on it yet. Well, what could go there? What makes sense? But is, what does the community want associated with that? So the comp plan really tries to pull together a lot of the different interests all across the community to help provide that, call it the roadmap or the plan, for lack of a better term, as to what potentially could happen here and what do we see happening here in the future. It's not a plan that has immediate results, I'll say. And what I mean by that, it's not, it doesn't mean that we're going to show, you know, single family housing is going to go in this area of the city. That doesn't mean single family houses are going to pop up there in a month. It's looking long-term at, it's looking, you know, 20 years out. What can that develop like over time?
Eric, it's Mark. I'd like to add, I like to use the term, it's a guide. It's not a regulation. It's really a guide that not only helps the community itself understand what might be envisioned for those areas Ryan just mentioned, but it helps business and investors that may be looking at Lee Summit to say, if I had this type of use and I'm interested in Lee Summit, where might it fit well within the overall framework of the city? And so the comprehensive master plan is somewhat of a guide that is used to communicate to all stakeholders, you know, in a sense, what does Lee Summit envision itself when it grows up? And it, not to say that we want to develop every square inch of Lee Summit, but it also helps us master plan parks and a lot of infrastructure and things along those lines.
It serves as a starting point for somebody that's looking to bring something to town, somebody that is already in town, somebody that's looking to move, to see where they could go and what might be around them.
And Ryan, you touched on this a little bit. So this is a 20-year vision is kind of what you guys are working with?
Yeah, that's generally the comprehensive plans are a very long-term focus, and 20 years is a pretty good, pretty lengthy time frame to look at. Our current comprehensive plan, it was last fully redone in 2004. It's been amended throughout the years, and it's got I should know, but I think it was like 13 or 14 separate amendments associated with it. And then there's been a number of other plans that have come along since then as things change. So it needs to be updated from time to time. But the base bones of that kind of that vision tend to look out that 20, even 30 or 40 years as we continue to look out.
It's pretty typical for a city to do a complete rewrite of their comprehensive plan every 10 years. So while it is a 20-year plan, usually we look at 10 years to really recapture the community's vision and relook at the status of the city. And that's due to a variety of things, changing economic factors, the pace of technological changes, things like that.
One of the big reasons for updating our comprehensive plan now is just the pace of change that has occurred in the community, both from a technology standpoint, the way that people live and work, and the types of jobs even are all changing, opposed to where they were even just 15 years ago. I mean, there was no iPhones 15 years ago, so high-speed internet wasn't quite where it's at. So the pace of technology is the tools available to us now to make this plan more interactive and more user-friendly and more of a baseline to be able to see, okay, what is it that we're achieving with this and make corrections as we go. All signal towards let's take another look at this. Let's revamp this. Let's get this baseline set with all the new members of the community and the existing members of the community.
And the city recently adopted the strategic plan. So what are the differences between a strategic plan and a comprehensive plan? And will one build on the other? How's that looking?
So we haven't officially adopted the strategic plan. It's in progress and near adoption and consideration by our council. So we're really close on getting that Ignite strategic plan in place. And the best way, well, let me back up. The other thing I'd like to mention too about the strategic plan and the comprehensive plan both kind of taking place together is that, to my knowledge, within the community, this is the first time where we have done a community strategic plan. And then on the heels of that, just as we're doing, is updating our comprehensive plan. They can both work very well together when both correlated, like what we're doing here. So to my knowledge, this is the first time this has occurred in Lee Summit. It's very exciting. And the reason I say that is I like to think of the city's strategic plan as that vision where the communities come together and we've asked ourselves collectively, where do we want to be in the future? And what's that vision look like? And then we start putting some objectives to that strategic plan and action items and goals and things of that nature. And so that's the, if you will, the compass for us on where we want to go as a community, as the strategic plan sets forth. Then behind that, I like to think of the comprehensive plan as, we'll say, that policy framework that will help us hopefully move the needle towards that vision. So they work very well together. And when I mentioned, policy and framework, a lot of the aspects that are coming out of the strategic plan will and do involve development or redevelopment and infrastructure and things of that nature. And so the comprehensive plan works as that policy and framework that as tools, if you will, that will help us collectively hopefully achieve a lot of those visions that are a part of the strategic plan. And then right, we've mentioned property reserve, the 4,200 acres that the property reserve has, timing as well, because they are now master planning, starting to work on master planning that acreage. So it fits extremely well into our strategic planning efforts, into our comprehensive master planning efforts to have all this work going on at the same time.
I'll add that a big difference between the two with the strategic plan and the comprehensive plan really is kind of the implementation time frame on it. The strategic plan as it currently sits is set up for a 2 to 3 year implementation plan. Whereas, as we just talked about, the comprehensive plan is probably more of a 20-year outlook. Completing the comprehensive plan, though, at this time, it really sets up a lot of the other actions that have been identified during the strategic plan process. So it has a longer time frame, but it also acts as an implementation piece of that overall strategic plan with the vision of it. So they're very well connected plans, and having the community engagement during the Ignite process, during the Ignite strategic plan process, really is going to allow us to just continue to roll right through with our Ignite comprehensive plan.
And with the comprehensive plan, it's going to focus on seven elements, essentially: quality of life, strong neighborhoods and housing choice, resilient economy, multimodal transportation, facilities and infrastructure, sustainable environment, and then land use and community design. Out of those seven elements, are there particular ones that stand out to where Lee Summit should be focused in the next 20 years?
That's a really hard question. That's a really hard question because each one of those areas are really vital to our success as a community, which is kind of why they've been selected to be the main elements of the paper, of the plan. So I personally have a hard time saying that one of these needs to be focused on more than the other. But I think that they all need to have a place that we're working towards the different goals that work together on them. So that's a cop-out answer, but I think they're all very important to the vitality of us in our community.
To me, the quality of life is the umbrella element that covers all of, you know, the whole community, right? And what is that quality of life? Well, things we looked at as far as quality of life are access to parks, our police and fire service, how well those are rated, customer satisfaction for like our water utilities. Well, how do you really get that quality of life? Well, that rolls right into strong neighborhoods and housing choice. And you could ask yourself, what does strong neighborhood mean? Well, to me, and we're working this out partially through the strategic plan as well, but strong neighborhoods are, you know, how do we get that neighborhood that has the look and feel that people have come to expect in Lee Summit? But beyond that, how do you keep going the good things that we have? And I think that comes from figuring out ways that, you know, if somebody in your neighborhood is having an issue, how do we get them the help they need to maintain their property and keep the neighborhood looking well? And that ties into infrastructure as well. I'm trying to tie all these together because they are interrelated. You know, there's been numerous studies, one by the Department of Justice, that things that will really cause a neighborhood to slide downhill are, you know, when you start getting cracked sidewalks and streets that aren't maintained. Well, part of this plan is really looking, how can we grow and maintain that high quality infrastructure? And part of that is, you know, if you grow unintentionally, you end up stretching yourself too thin, and then the city starts to deteriorate in some of your older areas. And that's the very thing we want to avoid. That's why, as Mark mentioned, having the discussion about PRI right now is very, very important as we look at the whole city from a comprehensive angle, so that we can see how we're going to grow in this 4,200 acres without sacrificing the heart of Lee Summit, so to speak.
I was just going to add, in my mind, you know, the comprehensive plan helps us as we look at growth or redevelopment. We do that with a purpose in mind. It's one thing to do economic development and new growth, but when you do it with a purpose, and that connects back to our vision, and why are we developing these areas in this fashion? What public value, what quality of life aspects are tied to that? It helps put that into perspective. So I like to think of using these tools as growth with a purpose, with a desired end result.
So if we wanted to reframe the question a little bit to say of, you know, maybe of these seven areas, what areas do you think that we have the most work to do on as a community? I think that becomes a little bit more of an easier question to answer. For me, I look at that, and the two that stand out to the most to me that where we need to maybe make some bigger strides in, I would say the resilient economy and sustainable environment. And the reason for that being that, you know, with the resilient economy, that's diversifying our workforce options, jobs and industry associated with the community. And then the sustainability aspect of that resilient economy goes into that. But our stormwater practices and ensuring even our energy efficiency on our buildings and individual buildings, and what impact that's going to have as we continue to move forward. There's also the conversation about, you know, climate changes and what impact does that have on the built environment continuing to move forward. So I think those are two of the areas that we haven't, I don't want to say we haven't had a focus on in the past, but I don't think that they've been in as emphasized in the comprehensive plans as they could be.
And this whole comprehensive planning process, it's a fairly long process and actually kind of got started in January. What's been done up to this point?
Up to this point, in response partially to COVID-19, we've really focused on front loading the comprehensive plan. The anticipated date for it to finish is actually April of 2021. And so we've taken the time, the opportunity of the extra time we've had to really develop, we call them community snapshots. They are related to the seven elements you mentioned earlier, and they really are, like I said, a snapshot of where we're at as of May 2020 in the community. They cover those seven areas. That's really the starting point. And now it's time to have the discussion with stakeholders on the comprehensive plan to form policies about that 20-year vision for the city.
Well, and I know we're now getting into the part of the process, like you mentioned, where we're engaging the community. So how will residents be able to participate in this process and have their voices heard?
There's a lot of ways to get involved, and we welcome every single one of those. There's online surveys. There'll be community events where we go to solicit feedback on a variety of topics. There's also going to be outreach at places like grocery stores where we'll try to solicit survey questions in person or just direct people to our website. The city's comprehensive plan website will also feature a forum where we'll post questions, and we want to see a discussion happen on those various topics. They mostly relate to these seven elements you mentioned earlier. So we're going to have a lot of online opportunities for engagement. But also, as much as is practical right now, we're going to go out to the community and have meetings very similar to what was done with the strategic plan. Folks getting into groups and discussing key issues for the community. And then also topical focus groups. Those are, I'll say, interested parties that are very well suited to speak on specific issues. So for instance, you know, in the development world, it might be a developer, somebody that's a community activist that has a definite opinion on development. And then it could also be somebody that's involved in the lending on those development projects. All those perspectives are important towards developing a balanced perspective, because what we don't want to do through this process, we don't want to see a radical shift in policy. We want to get a balanced perspective so that, you know, as we chart the course forward into the future, we keep the things that make Lee's Summit good, but we also look for new opportunities.
I think one of the easiest things that people can do to follow along with the process and have a voice is to fill out the surveys, participate in the surveys, go to an event. If you're talking to somebody, tell your friends about this process, that this is going on. Listening to this podcast is a great way to get involved. Take it, share it on social media, share it with your family and your friends. Go to the forums. Go to Facebook, go to Twitter, call us, send us an email, any way that you want to get your voice heard. We'll figure out a way to make sure that we get that incorporated into the feedback associated with the plan. We have tools available to us now that just weren't available last time that we did this process. So we're really looking forward to seeing what kind of feedback we get on this. More participation, the better. I would love it if we had feedback from every resident in town. That's unrealistic. But again, good start by listening to this, going to the website, igniteourfuture.net, listening to the forums. We're going to have more Facebook posts. We'll have bits of information to be conversation starters. We'll have what we call conversation kits. If you're going to have a group that you meet with, a group of friends even, or just your family, you download what we call this conversation kit, and it'll prompt you with some things and have an activity for you to do, and then you can submit those results to us, and we'll get those included in the plan. Any way that you can, come talk with us.
And can you talk a little bit more about the website that's been set up specifically dedicated to the comprehensive plan? Because I was on it the other day, and it has a lot of questions on there to kind of get people thinking about what they should be focusing on, curated reading lists to kind of spark some ideas. So can you talk a little bit more about that website?
Yeah, on igniteourfuture.net, we've got each one of the different elements, specific information and articles available to help get some thought processes going on what it might be, specific questions related to each one of the elements that you can answer and participate in, start thinking about. We also have, just on the main overview website, some information about the plan itself, the process and where we're at in that process. We've gone through kind of what we called phase one, and we're moving into phase two, where we're looking to really create consensus across the community. And that's really our big public engagement portion of it. So then you can follow along with where the process overall is at on that page. And we'll be posting more information as it becomes available up there on that page as well. We'll have videos that will discuss some of these different elements and the impact that they can have on different things.
So how long will this community engagement portion of the planning process be going on? And then after you guys have heard from all the residents, what happens next? What's the next part of the process after that?
Sure. So the community engagement process is planned. Really, it starts now, and this podcast is one of the first steps. The plan is to have it wrapped up in winter of this year. And then basically the plan would be adopted. The target now is April of 2021. I do want to emphasize, though, if we get to that April timeframe and we feel like we need to do a little more outreach to dig deeper on an issue, we're willing to do that. So we're not setting a hard deadline, and we don't have the attitude that we're just going to meet that deadline no matter what. We're going to be intentional with this process. And so, yeah, the anticipated adoption is April of 2021.
So in the end, what are the biggest things you are all hoping to accomplish with this plan? What does success mean?
I would define success for this plan that we've done a thorough job capturing the community's vision for the future of Lee's Summit, and that through that, we have measurable policies and goals that the community can follow along with, and the city will be tracking the status of those. For example, if one of the goals was we'd like to see more bike trails done around the city, well, we'll have a dashboard on our website that'll say, hey, we've added this many miles of bike trails, things like that. And so to me, success looks like that everybody's seeing their vision being fulfilled over the next 10 to 20 years. That's what success looks like to me.
Success on this project, it looks very simple to me. It looks like a community resource. It really goes to what Josh was just saying as well. I completely agree with where we are trying to go with this, but I want this to be easy to understand, easy to explain, and I want there to be a really clean place for everybody to go see how things are going. And I want it to be adaptable. I want it to be adaptable to meet the needs of the community. And that can't happen without input from the community and continued support and continued involvement from the community. Overarching big picture, I want this to be a community resource.
Yeah, and Eric, I'll chime in too. So hoping to have a plan that is certainly shaped by the community. Not driven by staff or one stakeholder or another. It's completely shaped by the community. And then, as the title would suggest, a comprehensive master plan. I think in previous comprehensive master plan efforts, there's been a lot of the focus has been on land use, planning, and infrastructure. And when I think about what we're doing in this process, there are so many, I'll call them master plans, that already exist within the community. And so think of a jigsaw puzzle, and each one of those pieces of that jigsaw puzzle is a plan. But I think through this process and the approach we're taking this year in this effort with the Comprehensive Master Plan is taking all those pieces of the jigsaw puzzle and actually putting them together so that we can see how it all fits together. And so we're connecting all those master plans into a comprehensive plan that also has a fiscal planning and impact analysis tool to help us understand that aspect, because that, as we develop and redevelop, that has long-term financial impacts for the community. So tying all that together and it being shaped by the community is one of the biggest things I'm hoping that gets accomplished through this effort.
And then I guess we'll end with just, is there any other aspect of this that you think is important for the community to know about with this comprehensive planning process?
I'll hit it again. This works best when we all participate. So listening to the podcast helps, having conversations with your friends, with your family, sharing the information on social media, generating excitement around this process, and really knowing that it does have an impact. It has a huge impact. Decisions that are made now will have long-term impacts on the community as a whole. And we really want everybody to participate in this endeavor, in this process. And so, again, just talk about it, share it, ask questions, and participate. And thank you in advance for helping.
The one thing I'd share, Eric, is the city has had a comprehensive plan for a number of years, and I want the folks to realize the resource that this is for the community. So don't think it's another plan that sits on the shelf. The plan is a living document that should change over time, and it should help us achieve those desired end results and provide that roadmap in order to get there. So I think we need to realize the significance and the importance of the comprehensive plan for the community.
All right. Well, I appreciate you all taking the time to do this today. And for everyone listening, get involved. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
Yeah, thanks, Eric.
Thanks for listening to the latest episode. Make sure to share with friends and family. We'd also love to hear suggestions for future topics. You can send us an email at communications@cityofls.net.